fisherman says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those woods and moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, don't give a damn.
Welcome, folks. You are in the Trump phenomenon. This is James Kelso talking to you live from North Dakota. And here on November 28th, 2017, my daughter tells me it'll be Friday, it'll be December. And, well, welcome to the show. You are welcome to call in, of course, at our call-in line, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Right now, I'm flying solo on our program tonight. Well, what do we start out with? This is the Trump phenomenon. Let's start out with the man himself, Donald Trump. A couple of things he's done today, pretty powerful. First is reacting to the latest intercontinental ballistic missile launch by the madman in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. Well, I'll play a little audio of Donald Trump describing how his reaction to that. Then in that same little audio clip, he's seated at a desk in the White House, I presume, and he's giving maybe a press gaggle, or I don't think it's a full press conference, but he's talking to the press, and he talks about the fact that he was elected in part to build the wall, restating again for any who might doubt his sincerity and his pledge to build the wall. He is going to build the wall. I absolutely trust the man. And, well, so those are two. That's encouraging. Of course, Korea, wow. Thank goodness Donald Trump is our president when this madman is asserting his insanity. But, of course, war, bad news all around, all the time for white people. This is a bad thing. And if a war, it's a complete distraction from saving our own people. Or worse, of course, when war involves, we're actually fighting ourselves, as in the most destructive event. I was just talking with a caller about this, and thank you very much, a caller, Dave from Illinois, just called me on my cell phone, and I welcome it, folks. It's so encouraging to me when you call. But I was just talking with him about it. The most destructive event for our people in our history, far surpassing the Black Death, the plague, World War I, which comes in second place in this horror. World War II really, really hurt our people by any measure. And I assign responsibility for that war to the man who started it on his own. Adolf Hitler. And that's why he wins. He deserves ranking as the man, the single man who did more to hurt our race than any other man who's ever lived. And no one's even close. And I would love to debate that point with anybody who would want to debate it with me. I debate it on the air. And I think it would take me less than 5 minutes to dispose of anybody who thought to prove the case. Very simple. But anyway, war, bad for us, but necessary in the case of if this guy is going to launch ICBMs. Apparently, let's read this story. Let's look at the headline here. Where is it? This is from The Hill. Just an hour ago, North Korea fires its highest ICBM yet. North Korea on Tuesday fired what has been initially assessed by the Defense Department to be an ICBM, the first such launch in more than 2 months. The missile was fired at dawn, local time, on Wednesday. And, of course, you know, they're a day ahead across the international dateline there, so it's Wednesday there now, from an area north of Pyongyang, and flew east before splashing down in the Sea of Japan. And then here's some baloney from the Pentagon. The missile posed no threat to North America or any U.S. territories or allies, the Pentagon said. Really? No threat? Come on, boys. But added that it remains, quote, prepared to defend ourselves and our allies from any attack or provocation, unquote. Slightly contradicting that, Defense Secretary James Mattis told reporters after the launch that the ICBM went, quote, higher, frankly, than any previous shots North Korea has yet taken. That's a quote. And then the article, a troubling signal that Pyongyang continues to make advances in its weapons development program. And by the way, I read recently an article that a lot of that program they must have gotten from, thanks a lot to the communist dictatorship of China, from China. Thank you very much. President Trump expressed confidence shortly following the launch, saying, it's a situation we will handle. We will take care of it, Trump told reporters at the White House. We will take care of it. So, you know, that, I don't know, how do you read that? I'm just reading the tea leaves here. But the way he couches that, I'm getting the feeling there's an action plan that launch may have triggered. We will take care of it. That sounds like an action to me. We will take care of it. So let's see what that means. Maybe the place from which it was launched will be taken care of, maybe. And remember Donald Trump told us during the primaries, I'm not going to be an idiot like Barack Obama and announce the defensive actions I take as president of the United States. I'm not going to tell an enemy, oh, by the way, tomorrow at 8 a.m., we're going to bring 5,000 troops in at this location. No, he said, I am going to, like any good military commander, fully employ the element of surprise. And I'm going to win. So, South Korea fired, okay, this is a response from South Korea, fired pinpoint missiles into the water in response to the launch to make certain North Korea understands, this is James Mattis talking, that they could be taken under fire by our ally. So South Korea could itself respond, Mattis said. Trump said the launch would not alter the administration's strategy to rein in the rogue nation, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, while condemning the launch, said diplomatic options remain viable and open for now. Let me skip down. This launch comes less than 2 weeks after Trump's return from Asia. That's important context. Where he warned, remember that incredible historic speech that Trump delivered at the National Assembly in Seoul, Korea, one of the most powerful speeches ever uttered by an American president. He did not use the term rocket man, But boy, did he let the North Korean communist dictatorship have it right in the teeth with his description of how horrible a nation North Korea is. Interestingly, that guard who ran across the demilitarized zone and took four bullets, the North Korean soldier took four bullets but survived. When they opened him up to treat his wounds, they found big, long worms in him. So that's how good things are in North Korea. People are infected with huge worms, even in the military. Wow. They have no health care at all. It was in Seoul that Donald Trump said to Pyongyang, do not try us. And he proclaimed North Korea to be a state sponsor of terror. The president has threatened to rain fire and fury, the president's words, on Pyongyang if it continues to threaten the U.S. or its allies. And they've been launching missiles at a rate of about two or three per month since April. Skipping down the story. The importance of that highest launch yet is, I'm not a rocket scientist, but Rocket Man knows that the higher you can make a missile go is identical to the further you can make it go or farther you can make it go. So if you get up, a few more miles altitude vertically, that means you could have added thousands of miles horizontally or some such ratio. So this particular missile going the highest probably could reach the deepest into, and now that we are told that they have the ability to reach Los Angeles, San Francisco, or even Chicago. Let me check my call-in board here and see if we've got a caller. I suspect we do. We have Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Okay. Go ahead.
You challenged me by saying what you did about Adolf Hitler. I'm not here to defend him. I want to get that perfectly straight out up front. My point is that everything that we know about Adolf Hitler, the information we get comes to us from people that did not like him. And if you compare that to what is being told about Donald Trump today, there's many allegations about him that simply aren't true, or Judge Roy Moore. My point is, your opinion of Hitler is coming from your information about him, and I wonder how you can know when they're lying and when they're not.
That's a very good point. And I've got a pretty good response. And I appreciate, people talking, supporting my point that Hitler was a monster, and especially for our race, and people contesting that. I welcome that. And so I welcome your call, Joel. And I won't blow up at you, I promise. How do we know that that we're not just being lied to and it's all being made up? Well, I'll give you one example. I have attended, do you know who David Irving is?
I've heard the name, but I'm not off the top of my head, no.
He's an historian, very highly regarded, before he became politically incorrect by the profession itself. But he's a very famous historian, David Irving of Great Britain. And I've helped organize, actually, and attended, probably about 10 appearances by David Irving. And I've talked with him personally. All over the country, in Los Angeles, in Orange County, and up here at Fargo in North Dakota, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and a bunch of places in outside Las Vegas in Nevada. But David Irving is supportive of Adolf Hitler. He hasn't made let's put it this way, among people who actually admire Hitler, David Irving is their favorite historian. and they buy his books all the time. He, you know, at the speaking events, that's one way he supports himself, is selling those books to all these people. Well, it's not a large number of people, but people who come in, you know, groups of 10 or 20 people or 30 to hear him talk. And so Irving is not the enemy. So he's trying to portray Hitler in as bright a light as he can. And at the last appearance that Irving made, I'll tell you how I know Hitler's a monster. Irving himself, from his own original research, talked about the British archives, which not too many years ago, recently, were opened up as to their content about Hitler. The British intercepted a lot of the German high command communications during the war. They'd broken the code, and Germany didn't know it. And the he talked about what he found, one of the amazing things he found in those archives, and that is that there actually was an extermination of Jews in Europe. It really did happen. Not the way we're told. You know, we're told that there was a, you know, people were gassed in gas chambers that, you know, it turns out that didn't exist. And people were not killed that way, as far as we know, and not in the numbers that were provided, like the famous 6 million number. But here's what Irving said. That didn't happen. And Irving says that didn't happen. But what did happen? On the Eastern Front, which is where, you know, about 90% of the war took place, or some very high percentage of all the fighting on the Eastern Front, in his insane war with Russia, launched by Hitler, just as he personally launched the insane war with Poland, on the Eastern Front, there were things called Einsatzgruppen. This is coming straight from David Irving, not from Kelso. I'm not a historian. I'm not a researcher. I'm like you. The Einsatzgruppen were attached to every army group. And their mission was to round up Jews and shoot them in the head. Men, here's the shocking part, men, women, and children. And they did this. David Irving said, how many? He said, we have data for the years 1942 and 1943. We have the communication from the commanders of the Einsatzgruppen reporting in to Himmler with their, you know, results. And the results are, you know, approximately are more than 1 million people, you know, and pushing 2 million people shot in the head, you know, one bullet, after being rounded up. And they're, what were they guilty of? They were guilty of being Jews. They're not. And then what you'll hear, you'll be, oh, no, these were partisans. And that's normal in war. If you find somebody behind the lines who's a partisan sabotaging, he's a combatant, and you could execute him on the spot. And that's happened all over the world. Robert E. Lee executed people who were seen on the road where they didn't belong near his army, saying, you're a deserter, and they were shot right there. Robert E. Lee did that. But these weren't partisans. These weren't deserters. These were included children. Children aren't partisans. Children aren't combatants. It's absolutely forbidden to kill, to execute children. But they did this. And in huge numbers, not 6 million that David Irving could document, but 2 million in 2 years. That's a mass extermination. So, but people who admire Hitler, they're not honest about this, or they don't want to know it. But all of you out there, who I hope there aren't too many of you in our audience who admire Hitler, go look up David Irving, listen to his talks about the Einsatzgruppen. Einsatzgruppen. And listen to the man who is favorable to Hitler tell you what a monster he was. Now stay there with me, Joel, because I didn't let you talk very much. We'll be right back, folks.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Joel, this might be helpful. A bunch of the listeners to the show will be familiar with David Irving. Very famous. I've met him personally numerous times, talked with him privately, and most recently in Fargo, North Dakota here. And I asked him, by the way, in that situation, I asked him as one of the world's greatest experts on Hitler. I mean, I will never be able to scratch his knowledge of Hitler. Researched in the original archives in German, in Russia, in, you know, everywhere around the world. I asked him, did the moment that Hitler invaded Poland on September 1st, 1939, did he also intend to invade Russia? He said, yes, without any hesitation. Yes, absolutely. The man was determined to fight a war with Russia. And then I said, as a follow-on question, was there any person anywhere who could have dissuaded Hitler from war with Russia at that moment? And he said, no, absolutely not. And did anybody, was anybody influential, or did he confide in anybody? He said, no. all by himself, his lonesome, David Irving. But now, here's David Irving talking about, were Jews exterminated en masse by Hitler. I don't like to say by the Germans. The Germans didn't do this. Hitler did it. And Himmler and Goebbels, these horrible people that were attracted to Hitler, really horrible people, like Goebbels, who murdered their six little children. I think the youngest was 4 years old, five girls and one boy, all, by the way, named, their first names started with H, pardon me for going on about Hitler here, Helmut, Helga, Hilda, I forget the names, but they all started with H to honor Hitler, who spent much time with these children, a lot of time. He was more close to those children, had no children of his own, never really married, with these little children. And it was Hitler's doctor who provided the cyanide in the bunker. Hitler clearly showing that he was a sociopath, enabled the murder of Magda and Joseph Goebbels' own children as the mother crushed cyanide capsules with their teeth. And if you haven't seen the movie Untergang, watch it. You can see it on YouTube. Untergang, which means downfall in German. And I asked David Irving himself. I said, Mr. Irving, David, is this movie accurate? He said, yes, very. And he said, a lot of it must be based on my research. So if you want to see as close as you're going to get to who the man was, watch him as he participates in the murder of six beautiful little children who he easily, with a stroke of a pen given to his aide, he could have had those six children whisked off in an airplane, of which he had hundreds at his command. He was the most powerful man in Europe. He had tons of gold. Nothing he could do with it because he couldn't buy anything from anybody. Nobody would sell him anything. But he had tons of gold confiscated from every bank vault in Europe. He could have put, a suitcase full of gold on an airplane bound for Switzerland, where he had right of transit. The Swiss had agreed to let him move German trains unmolested and planes through Switzerland. So those children would have been on their way to Switzerland within an hour. He executed. Now listen to David Irving talking about this.
So what do I, as a real historian, after 30 or 40 years work, fearlessly believe at this stage? I believe the gassings did take place, but the whole thing was an ad hoc operation in these various camps, designed and devised by the local commanders, except for the three Reinhardt camps, which were built as extermination centers. No denying that. And it's a pity that the Jewish communities around the world have concentrated or latched onto Auschwitz as their Disneyland, because the real operations were done further east. Not much money to be made there, difficult to get to, and nothing to show the tourists, unless they're tourists who are romantic and can hear the sigh of the deceased and departed in the wind that blows through the pine forests. I'm not a romantic person. I like to see the
pine forests. That's where the Einsatzgruppen would take a group of Jews that they rounded up and shoot them in the head.
Documents. I like to see the evidence. I can't be intimidated either by publishers or by newspapers or by journalists or by thugs with baseball bats. They've tried everything. And I still write what I find in the archives. But I do get good luck. 1991, about 3 years after I first saw the Leuchter Report, I went to Buenos Aires to speak to audiences in Buenos Aires, in Spanish, of course.
Now, I don't know where he's going to go at this point. This is a very critical interview with David Irving. And it's a sort of he's looking back on his whole life and career. He's seated in front of a bookcase of some of his books. You can find it online. He's in a sweater and tie. I'll come right back to that in just a moment. Stay with us, Joel. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And I will rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell.
Well, we hope there is a chance for the flag and for the Liberty Bell. You know, one of the things that's riveting about live radio is, as a host and for you as an audience, you don't know where it's going to go. So I had no idea tonight's show would be talking a little bit about Hitler. Maybe we'll go to another topic. We started with Rocket Man in North Korea, himself an absolute dictator. But we've got Joel on the line with us. Joel, are you there?
Yes, and I never got to respond. So
yeah, go ahead.
I have 2 points. I hope I could get to a third. But Listening to you, it sounds like everything, not everything, but mostly you're based on Irving's archive studies. And so we'd have to then trust that he was legitimate in the first place and the archives that he studied were legitimate, because deception has been around all my life. And so if he's not part of it, you know, because there's a possibility that he's, you know, part of it. And, okay, so then if he's legit and everything he researched is legit, then Hitler is a monster. But is he any more of a monster than what has been done by this country? When Madeleine Albright was asked, you know, what about the 500,000 Iraqi children that died? And she said, yes, that she felt that was necessary. I mean, is that any worse?
Okay, that's a good question. And I would respond this way. I'm not saying you're defending Hitler. Someone who wanted to defend Hitler, you know, any defense of anybody made by comparing them to somebody else who's also incredibly evil. And I have yelled in the face of Madeleine Albright at the Bilderberg meeting. I think it was in 2008. I yelled with a bullhorn, you know, 5 feet from her face, and actually made her furious. But she's a disgusting person. But comparing disgusting people is, you know, well, this one wasn't as bad or is comparable, you know. That doesn't exonerate anybody. So okay. Hitler,
all right.
But let me just throw a couple more logs on the fire here. Hitler's own staff, including Erwin Rommel, tried to kill him numerous times at great risk to their own lives. Colonel von Stauffenberg, who finally, who did pay for his effort with his life, these were incredibly courageous people. These people knew Hitler. You know, neither you nor I will ever know Hitler, but they knew him up close and personal, in every detail, and they risked their lives and gave up their lives to save their own people by stopping this madman who was destroying the German people. That's a piece of evidence there. The way that Hitler, these are not contested in history. General von Paulus, made a field marshal by Hitler, hoping he would kill himself. The commander of the German army trapped in Stalingrad, which could have broken out easily. They had the power to punch out. They were trapped. They knew it. Von Paulus asked permission from Hitler to punch his army back westward and escape. He had a couple 100,000 men. Hitler said, no, you must fight to the last man. You may not move an inch. And, you know, the 100,000 who were still alive in the smoking ruins when they were, you know, marched into death camps by the Bolsheviks. And that comparison also doesn't exonerate history. That the Bolsheviks were murderous, you know, doesn't make Hitler less so. But no. Von Paulus was so disgusted, he never returned to Germany. He stayed in Russia. Believe it or not, you know, a great German patriot. These officers, these German officers, you know, were incredible people. And von Paulus, his hatred for Hitler was infinite, as was Erwin Rommel's, his greatest general. Let's see, more evidence. But those men were just sacrificed. I think 9,000 or so of the 90,000 ever lived. They were murdered by Hitler. Did Hitler start the war? Absolutely. David Irving confirms that. It was Hitler. It was out of his fevered, insane mind that he transformed a peaceful Europe where no one was at war. Germany was not being attacked by anybody. There was no need for a war. No need for an attack on Poland. The fact that you know, Germany had grievances, Hitler had grievances, and he wanted this piece of territory or that piece of territory, which had been detached from Germany by the Treaty of Versailles, which everybody agreed was a stupid treaty. Everybody, Americans, British, French, all agreed it was a stupid treaty. That there were grievances, that doesn't justify starting a world war at all. And the so there's another, you know, log on the fire for Hitler. But on and on and on. Yeah, go ahead.
I just think it's a coincidence that we all have been taught to hate the most hated person in the world, and that person happened to changed the banking system in his country and got rid of the interest-bearing money and started his own money. And I just wondered if that has anything to do with him being the most hated person in the world ever.
Okay. Well, he's not the only person to change the banking system. Andrew Jackson did it, the president that Donald Trump most admires. And many others have done the same thing. Hitler did nothing that was like so unique and revolutionary. No one had ever tried it before. The German people hate Hitler. All European people hate Hitler. And let me make a very important point here, because this pertains to our cause, to us patriots. 99%+ of all white people despise Adolf Hitler. They have ever since 1939, when he started the war. He has been reviled by white people, not because they were propagandized. It's because 500,000 of their American sons died in his war. It's because the German people hate Hitler today. There's no great number of people in Germany that like Hitler today. There's a tiny, tiny group of people in Germany who worship Hitler, just as there is a tiny group pretty much in every country of people. It's beyond me why somebody would worship Hitler. But there is a tiny group in every country. And those people, here is the horrible thing that that accomplishes. If the white cause is identified with admirers of Hitler, guess what? The white cause is crippled. Because the 99% of white people, if they constantly read that some person, Sieg Heiling, is the white cause, they're going to run away from the white cause. And our enemies have made this their number one play in the top of their playbook. It's what they do over and over and over again. They know they're masters of marketing and public relations. If they can identify in the public's mind Hitler with the white cause, they can kill the white cause. And they've done that successfully for three quarters of a century. And they continue to do it today. And Hitler is still exacting a toll on the white race. To this day, he's not finished in his swath of destruction against our people. But go ahead. You had a good point.
I just wonder how Hitler gets blamed for us entering the war that he did not start with us, when Roosevelt actually started that war and with him, and yet Hitler gets blamed for the deaths that died in it. Now, isn't there something wrong with that?
Neville Chamberlain in Britain did everything but, he bent over backwards to appease Hitler, to avoid war. He desperately wanted to avoid war. He knew how terrible it would be. Neville Chamberlain, a great man. Daladier did the same thing. The French tried to avoid the war. The Munich Agreement, was it 1938, gave Hitler the Sudetenland. That was supposed to be the end of it. No, not for Hitler. He marched into Prague. After he marched into Prague and invaded the Czech lands, the Czechs, he had no beef against the Czechs. Charles Lindbergh himself said when Hitler invaded Prague, that was the end of anybody's ability to defend Hitler further. He was purely an aggressor, invading white nations as a madman, intent on, and he wrote it. He put plainly, it's in Mein Kampf. It's also in the other book he wrote that nobody's read called Zweitebuch. The second book, which he wrote after Mein Kampf, in which he makes it very plain. I intend to expand the physical realm of Germany. I'm going to take large areas of Ukraine. And you know, these belong to greater Germany. An insane, mad program of conquest. You got me started here, Joel. And by the way, I thank you for it, because this is a subject that needs to be talked about and is much too little talked about. That the pro-white cause is crippled. It's crippled by an association with Hitler. And here's where the pro-white cause and the leadership of the pro-white cause has made an incredible, has done something very, very wrong. It's allowed that to happen. So there are people, there will always be some whack job somewhere who wants to Sieg Heil and wear a Nazi uniform. That person should not have any prominence in a pro-white cause, but they do.
Well, I'm not one of them.
Yeah, the leadership doesn't throw them out. It doesn't distance the movement. Yeah. I know it doesn't touch you. I understand. But it touches all of us white folks, because a pro-white cause has to millions of white folks have to become a family and defend themselves. But if as long as they view it as a toxic activity, they won't do it. And some little tiny group of people that can assemble, 100 people at a meeting, or 500 or 200, that's not going to do it either. There will always be a tiny little shred of people like that. That's not a successful movement. That's not what's successful is a man who can get 63 million people completely against the media, against all influences, gets them to vote for him, crushes 16, establishment figures in the course of doing that. That's success. That's motivating white people to defend themselves. And that's the origin of this show. I realize Donald Trump is showing us how to win. I've experienced how to lose. And, go ahead.
And yet look at the propaganda that's coming against him, and it will go down in history as archives.
Well, but Donald Trump is the most loved man among patriots in the world. No question. He's not hated. Hitler's hated by everybody. Donald Trump is, who cares whether Al Sharpton hates Donald Trump? I hope Al Sharpton hates Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is loved. He is tremendously loved by, overwhelmingly, all white patriots everywhere in the world. He's loved.
I'll let somebody else on. Okay.
Yeah, Joel, the point being that propaganda doesn't stick if it has nothing to stick to. There's nothing to stick to with Donald Trump. That's why I call him President Boomerang. Every time they lie about him, it boomerangs back on them. Joel, thank you. It's very good questions you offered. Very good. And please, thank you. Let me, folks, I'm just going here. I'm just gonna turn something down so you can hear me. There we go. It's live radio, folks. I'm the engineer and the producer, and the real professionalism is in the studio there at Republic Broadcasting in Austin, Texas, where genuine engineers are waiting to take your calls. Let's go to another caller here, David in Massachusetts. David, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Good evening, James.
Hi, David.
Yeah. Hey, James, I really value your opinion. What is your opinion, James, of, that almost flagship publication in the Patriot community, the Barnes Review? I was a foundational subscriber to that. I believe the first issue was October of 1994. And the first issue dealt with Haiti, the nation of Haiti. But I remember, for example, reading the serial installments of Waffen-SS Belgian National General Leon de Grel. And he was Hitler's personal attaché. And General de Grel.
Yes, it's a very good.
Really highly of Hitler.
Yes, he did. And David, this is a great. This is another great question, David. And you are really well informed and well read. The Barnes Review, folks, I am very familiar with people very instrumental in its existence. Willis Carto is no longer alive, but he launched the Barnes Review. And I actually sponsored Willis Carto at two events that I staged in New Orleans and his wife. And then also Mark Weber, who took over the Institute for Historical Review after a fight, basically, with Willis Carto. He also very instrumental in this. And here's my opinion on Leon de Grel, yes, having a high opinion of Hitler. Not justified for de Grel to do that. And it's this, when you read something that is sort of pointing out Hitler was a nice guy, or he was great to people, and he had great character, he was brave, whatever. It's wrong. It's wrong because what is the man? The man is what he really did, his overall effect, not that he was nice to Eva Braun while they were by the lakeside. That doesn't matter. Or that he was nice to his dog, Blondie. What counts is the fact he did start World War II. He did do that. And Leon de Grel, for instance, was a great anti-communist. And so in his view, Hitler was an anti-communist, so that made him great. But Leon Degrelle got it wrong. And remember, Leon Degrelle, when he's writing about the war, after the war, he's got a lot on his conscience. A lot of people died in the battles he fought. And so it's hard to admit you're wrong. If you've killed a lot of people, it's kind of hard to admit that you were wrong.
Well,
you want to,
James,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. James, I was always a great admirer of Carolyn Yeager. She's the one that could really go a few rounds with you on this topic. But this is she's a great gal. I've always been an admirer of Carolyn Yeager.
The music is stepping on both of us. So if you'll stay there, we'll be right back, folks, after this break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Yes, when this war is over, folks, and we're talking about a war that should never have begun. World War II did not need to begin. And we're talking with David in Massachusetts, and we only have a couple minutes left, and I do want to get to George in Texas, who is also holding on the line, David. But let's go. Take me somewhere else. What was the question you were working on? Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn Yeager, yes, that she would speak in defense of Hitler. If I may presume to say so, I'm not an expert on her work, but she's wrong. But go ahead.
Okay.
James, one thing that's been left out so far in this commentary about Hitler and everything from last Sunday and everything. Now,
yes.
Put yourself in Hitler's jackboots, okay?
Okay.
Now, and before I say this, here you, and, you know, with all due respect, James, you sound like you're ready to back Trump, Donald President Trump, on a preemptive strike across at North Korea, and they're way on the other side of a vast ocean. Now, what about this looming Russian bear that had already swallowed up the Baltic states and invaded Finland?
David, that is a beautiful question. Huh? David, I've got a beautiful answer for a beautiful question. Yes, what about that Russian bear, which was actually the Bolsheviks, who were a tremendous threat. They were the only threat to the white race in 1939, and they needed to be dealt with by a united white race. And Charles Lindbergh wrote about that in his November 1939 article, Aviation, Geography, and Race. And Hitler made that impossible. Now, you said that the Bolsheviks, the Russian bear gobbled up the Baltic nations only because in the Molotov-Ribbentrop secret agreement, Adolf Hitler treacherously gave those Baltic nations, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, he gave them to Stalin. He gave Eastern Poland to Stalin. And as a result of what Hitler did, he gave millions.
James, I have to stop you there. How the heck can Hitler give those Baltic nations to Stalin? How can he give them to Stalin? How can he do that? He can't. It's impossible for him to just give them to Stalin.
No, it's not.
They weren't occupied, huh?
Here's what Ribbentrop told Molotov, meaning Hitler, told Stalin. If you march into Latvia, Lithuania, or Estonia, we will not resist that. You're welcome to absorbing those nations. And that's exactly what Stalin did almost immediately. He murdered hundreds of thousands of Latvians, Lithuanians, and Estonians. Horrible, only made possible by Hitler's, first his Molotov-Ribbentrop secret agreement, and also his non-aggression pact with Russia. Yes,
well,
Hitler did
that. That's a real stretch, James. And with all due respect, James, that's a real stretch. Blaming Hitler for Stalin's butchery, and I still don't see if the Baltic states and Finland was occupied by the German army and everything. But Hitler had no control over those Baltic states. How can he give something to Stalin that doesn't belong to him? That's ridiculous.
If he tells Stalin, when you march in, I won't lift a finger, that's giving it to them. Now we're going to run out of time. David, that was a brilliant question. It's a brilliant question, and it needs to be talked about more. I compliment you on such a great question. Please ask more. We'll dig into this more. George in Texas, I'll bet you had a great question. We're not going to be able to get to you. Everybody, we'll see you again tomorrow night. You got rain checks, everybody. See you tomorrow night.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.